Marcia, are you still speaking in your capacity as part of the outreach committee?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
I have two concerns.
Yes.
One, and I let's just go straight to notice. Let's say I live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and notice is required to get to me in order for a meeting to be legitimate. If they send that to 1440 K Street, I haven't gotten notice.
Correct.
All right. Now, the other thing is that there is a principle in law, and I know it doesn't necessarily apply here, but by analogy, it's called the fruit of the poisonous tree. And essentially, it means nothing good can come out of something that was inherently bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at this failure to properly notify as inherently bad, whether there was a bad motion put on or a good motion or an innocuous notion is of no moment. Any motion, regardless of its quality, would be unacceptable. Those are the questions I need to have answered. Because otherwise it's kind of circumventing the issues that I was trying to present. That's all I've got.
I understand. Thank you. Thomas?
Following that same line of discussion, how did we get to the executive session without the regular session?
Well, it was on the agenda anyway.
So the whole notice for the first session does what to the second session?
Well, I don't know, because the executive session was for LSB members and they got the notice. So I will, that is part of the discussion I will convene. Julie?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, of course, giving the public notice of a closed session is not required. And the reason it's not required is the public cannot attend the closed session, right? And so on both the 14th and the 28th, there would have been nothing illegal about whatever we would do in closed session, as long as, right, and this is an important proviso, and, you know, we discussed this on both the 14th and the 28th, as long as it was really properly closed session material, that there was a confidential or proprietary nature to it, which in fact was the case. And I kept reminding people, we can't talk about that, you know, because that's the finance committee report or whatever that should be done in open session, right? So we can't do those kinds of things in closed session. And so, you know, there were people trying to, you know, defend the rights of the public in real time in those meetings.
Yeah, John?
Yes, just one more thing on that. And don't forget about the motion to ratify.
Yes.
This is exactly where that motion can be used when something was done at a meeting that may or may not be legal. You can use the motion to ratify. And again, what it means basically is that if action was taken, that might not be ratifiable, but if the motion was made and not carried out, then you could ratify.
Okay. All right. We have 5 minutes to community comment. If it's okay, I would like to begin that early. Hold on. Okay, so I'm going to open the floor for community comment. Please keep remarks to no more than 3 minutes, and be nice. Okay, Kim.
Hi, everyone. I'm the treasurer from KPFK. I was actually doing some cooking and thought I would bring my computer into the kitchen and have you entertain me. But I've now eaten. And, so I have some comments to make. And I did put this in the chat, but, the 990 does not list the vendors, nor does the, audit. And Jerry had a good explanation for that. The top salaries are generally and historically the ED and CFO. I think the number, Eileen, is 100K, because there was somebody who did have that for a minute, and but all our people are generally under that. So that's, you know, those are the top two salaries. And yes, the right wing has a lot more money than the left.
I stand corrected, Kim. Thank you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Look, who knows? You know, I mean, it is true. The right wing has a lot more money than left wing. Markeisha is not the CFO. She is the national business manager. If you want further understanding about these confidentiality agreements, Stephanie, the ED, would be the one to maybe respond, but not Markeisha. Markeisha did not make this policy, and she is not, it's not her responsibility to explain it here at this LSB. You know, the PNV did this, and all the treasurers have had to sign them as well, and I guess the audit committee as well. And the directors can have any information, can have any and all information, but it is still confidential for them. As treasurer, I can have whatever I am given that is confidential per the NDA agreement, but I cannot give it out. So, you know, I don't see the LSB as being able to get all the stuff that treasurers and or directors can get. You know, when I make reports, I, you know, we have consultants and I can generally talk about them. Like we had a bunch, you know, a couple of board ops who quit. And so we have been using non-salary board ops. Contract people, and really 3 minutes. Okay, and I can say generally, well, in the consultants are board ops without naming names or salaries, and that's one way to do that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I make sure, and if there's time, if you can, we can go back to folks if there's time permitting. Who is next? Sabu.
Yes, few things. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Harris on his new position as WPFW's financial guru. Secondly, there's been some comments made concerning the outreach and different programs. The station really, well, the board needs to get together. I think that's really for us. I know it's late in the year, but they need to get together so that everybody can meet and know who's who and what's what. That's pretty important. And share the bylaws, copies of the bylaws. I had to download my own, but it's there. It's about 40 pages. So make sure you got some ink. But you can download the bylaws for the WPFW. And you need to, try to prioritize where everybody can get together, because I had somebody call me last month right after the meeting and didn't realize that he was supposed to go to the executive session. So he was a board member. So you really need to make sure everybody knows their do's and don'ts and sort of what their obligation as a board member is. I believe that was just last month. So evidently there's some people who still haven't really been orientated to things that board members, what they're responsible for and things like that, man. So, you know, it's never too late. work on that. That's it.
Thank you. Marty?
I wanted to know, are we going to get back to the relocation committee? Is that going to be established again? Because we really need to start looking for other spaces that may be a little cheaper than where we are. Just a recommendation.
Yep. And is Jerry back on the call? I don't think so, right? Okay, we'll put that on the list.
Also, in the past on the LSB, we used to have retreats. And maybe that would be I know Sabu had talked about us coming together. Maybe we could have a retreat, the LSB at least, have a retreat to come together and just get together, socialize peacefully.
Yep. And as I was suggesting, I would, that's the kind of thing that I would like to, incubate in, actually doesn't matter which committee, outreach would be a good one to try and come up with, a little bit more of a specific proposal that we could, actually then discuss and vote on, suggest alterations or whatever, but just, something to, for us to get a hold of a little bit firmer than the idea. I mean, I think that's a good idea, but thinking of what kind of event, about what time of year, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, Kim.
Again, I have a few other things.
Jerry is here.
There are, what, Eileen?
Sorry, Jerry is back in the meeting.
Okay.
I'll be quick. There are.
Thank you.
The CPB rules, and then there is also the FCC regs, and both of them take the public in public radio seriously. And in the bylaws, it says that every LSB meeting has a mandated 30 minutes of public comment. So if a meeting, LSB meeting, isn't properly noticed, it is, in effect, violating that provision and not allowing the public, who does support us almost 100%, to have their public comment. So that's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I just want to, see you, Lona. I just want to put a placeholder in this. Jerry, just before you came back, the question was raised about the, status of a relocation committee.
Oh, okay. What I just heard though was 100% correct in terms of CPB compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who's speaking on that, but that is 100% correct.
Okay.
And we need to be in compliance.
Yep. Is there any movement? I know that, that Nick had been working on the relocation stuff before he left. Do you know if there's any movement or progress on that? And is there anything that we can do to help?
There is nothing you can do to help right now because the efforts are not necessarily what I would characterize as relocation efforts as much as they are negotiation efforts with the current landlord. We have to research the existing market in order to put ourselves into a position where we can negotiate. Once the landlord realizes that we're looking at alternatives, then they'll negotiate better with us. But we've got to do the real work and look at alternative locations. So Nick and I will be proceeding with that with a broker that we have done so in the past with fairly successfully. He'll have a list of locations that we will take a look at and look at the prospect. Thus far, we've not found anything that was suitable. You have to understand, moves are very, very expensive. council. Once you find a place, then there is suitability. You know, we have to turn it into a broadcast facility. We have to move our facility, which I'm glad to say is actually on wheels. but we would have to build a new facility and do the whole suitability things. And we're talking upwards of $100,000, maybe. I know it's over $100,000 easily. So, I mean, if this was a real meeting, the most efficient thing for us to do is right at this time, short of finding something that we own, is to renegotiate the contract where we are. We're in pursuit of right now.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your patience, Lona. You have the floor.
Hi, Lona.
Lona?
She's muted.
Yeah, she is. You're muted, Lona.
I came back in. I was away to actually work on the air, pitching on Kamit Lakai. I have no idea what context I've just jumped back into this meeting in.
Well, that was actually the first question for you that had come up since you left. So your timing was excellent. Okay, Lona.
Perfect. Good.
Hi, good evening. I'm sorry. I couldn't find how to unmute myself. I was doing several things, including starting a timer on me. Good evening. I'm Lona Elias. I'm a producer currently on the air in WPFW. I've been a volunteer for over 30 some years. I've been a staff member of Pacifica as well as WPFW. I am an investigative journalist. I served as a member of the LSB for 7 years. 7 years because in the year that I was due to leave, they were unable to do the elections. And so I was asked. A special resolution was passed by the Pacifica National Board in order for people to be extended. And I was asked if I would stay on for an additional year, which I did. Three things quickly. I just wrote some notes down. I'm sorry. That took up a lot of time to say that. According to the bylaws, unless they were changed, and I've seen no notice of changes, all LSB meetings, LSB committees are public, and anyone can attend any of them. So if you're on any one committee, there's no need to ask a committee if you could attend. You're a member of the public. Anybody can attend all the meetings except the mass committee meeting, unless the bylaws have been changed. I've seen no notice of that. Community comment is sacrosanct. You cannot limit Dennis Williams, anybody's participation, which means if programmers are on to speak in closed session, you cannot legally tell them that they cannot participate in the community comment if they're speaking later. That was an illegal decision by you. And the lack of participation, I just briefly, Pamunkey, the Lamont event, which was to raise funds for WPFW, there were like two board members that came to that and the 5K meeting. This is like, okay. And I understand, I know that there was provision set forth in terms of raising money for the station. That's what I want to see this LSB do and any other LSB do. This, your lack of participation at those events was like shocking to me, and it's somewhat, no, I'm not going to characterize it any further than that. It was shocking to me. That's my experience of it. And those are the questions that I got a chance to write down before you got to me. I don't have any questions. I challenge you to challenge anything that I've said as being illegal. And in terms of the notice of the meeting, I put in the chat, because it was closed session, I did not want to say specifically in open meeting what it was. I was not properly notified. You have a responsibility. If I'm giving witness to you and participating, even in closed session, to notify me You do not have the right to delegate the notice to someone else. Check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's my 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Joni.
Yes, good evening, everybody. I have two relatively simple suggestions that are not really controversial. One is that I spend a lot of time in New York City these days, and I listen to our sister station, WBAI, and they have several interesting things that we could also learn from. One is that they actually do a very entertaining announcement for their LSB meetings every month that goes out as a PSA, and it's, you know, done well, and it gets everybody, it gets your attention. So I would recommend that we consider that, so that listeners listening, they hear the LSB announcement and they get the information on how to join on the air. That's what BAI does. They give out the Zoom and all that. And then the second, recommendation or request, I was on the LSB many moons ago, and we were lobbied. Officially, there are, according to the bylaws, as far as I understand it, there are supposed to be six representatives of the staff on the LSB. And I know that's kind of an awkward rule, and it's easier said than done, but we were forced to do it, and we did wind up having meetings, I think, at least quarterly. So I was going to try to, I don't even know who the representatives are, but I think, you know, it would be helpful if we had just a simple way as programmers to touch base with the people who are supposed to be representing us. And I assume many of them don't even know that that's the rule. But I don't know who could help facilitate that as a request. Otherwise, I guess I'll have to try. But I know Von Martin, who, you know, was the first person to be on the airwaves, he was very, very loudly requesting that, and I can always ask him to do that again, because that's part of how we can have an easier way for us to have some at least simple input into the LSB. So I don't know, Dennis, do you have any easy, if there's an easy suggestion?
Well, what I will do is, and I was just making a note, is reach out to the staff slash programmer delegates who are on the LSB now, and see what they might be willing to come up with in terms of sort of communicating more broadly with the staff to keep everybody up to speed on what we're doing here.
And so it could be a two-way street.
Yeah,
because we sometimes have,
and also get input about concerns from the staff to bring to this table as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And Von Martin will be standing by to second my request. Thank
okay,
you.
So for the record, I believe currently, I believe it's Sue, Arthur, Kamau, Marcia, and Violetta, I believe, are the staff delegates. So, I will be in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Thank you, folks. Back to the agenda. I'm going to, slide in the chairman report, right here, because I've got, I'm sorry, Lona. Last comment. You still me? Okay.
I was trying to find my mic.
Okay, go ahead.
My understanding is that since there are still several minutes of community comment.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
That's why I called on you again. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you said Lona, this as though I was going to be the last one, and I'm saying. So just correct that. That's not, shouldn't be if it's only 3 minutes. The other thing that I want to talk about is that what I said briefly as I was getting off in terms of notice, and I would really love for you to educate me. That's why I said I'm challenging you to correct me if anything that I've said is incorrect. That's my understanding of the bylaws from the years that I spent on, you know, on the committee. I was on the PNB, on the governance committee of the PNB. So in terms of the rules and how changes were made and stuff like that, I was all over that for like 3 years I served on governance, maybe four. So I got pretty familiar with the bylaws because the governance of the PNB was where people came in who have questions from other local station boards. Okay, that was one of the places that would go and get the answer and then report back to the board and the board would get back to that LSB. So in terms of notice, I understand what you said in terms of, I'm not sure who said it, that if a motion comes, I don't believe that that's true of Pacifica. Maybe that may be true of corporate. Okay, but Pacifica laws are very, very clear. If the meeting itself is not properly noticed, okay, then it's an illegal meeting and any business that takes place, just as with the quorum, is voided. In terms of I don't know if that motion that was discussed, do you know what I mean, came on the floor, and it didn't come on the floor in normal sessions. So it came on the floor in executive session. But that whole thing about notice, I came, as you guys know, because from the moment I hit you, I'm like, why is it like this? This is not my understanding of why I'm here. And so based on that, I really feel that, I mean, my understanding is that you have a responsibility to notify me if I'm coming before you for a specific reason. That is not what I was told. I was told I was there for the letter of concern.
Okay.
And that was not the purpose for which I was there. And so that's what I'm saying in terms about being properly noticed, even for executive session.
All right. I understand.
You muted me while I was speaking?
I did not.
Yeah, my phone came on that I was muted. Someone muted me.
That was me. I hit a button wrong. Sorry about that. That was a mistake. Go on, Lona. Please continue.
Thank you. I mean, I would love for you to respond about that. I really think it was illegal for that reason. I think you have a responsibility if I'm coming for a specific reason that I know why I'm coming and not something else. And everybody else that was on with whom I've spoken had the same impression and were just as surprised as I was because I asked 3 times before I got the answer. So it's not hyperbole that my understanding of why I was there was different from the reason that I was there. I don't know if you can address this here, but I would love to have it addressed. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I am not prepared to address that here, but thank you. I hear you.
Will you respond at some point, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
Joni.
Yes, I'm just going to make a brief comment. I wasn't going to raise this, but I did want to mention that as some people know, the programmers did submit a letter to the LSB in which 37 programmers responded, and it was supposed to be somewhat of a simple request. I'm just going to say that I don't think it was really circulated or discussed.
It's on the agenda tonight.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, that was it.
Okay. Last call. All right, I'm going to proceed with the 2 items I had under the chair's report. First being that we are preparing to acquire a new dedicated Zoom account for the LSB. It won't be a personal account, and we will use that for our meetings. I will also enact the idea that we just discussed earlier, where we'll keep this account that we have been using as a backup, and when we send out meeting notices, we'll plan to list both Zoom accounts with the directions that if for some reason something, you know, you go to that room and nobody's there, go to the other room. That will be the best way that we can in advance try to prepare for any technical difficulties. The second item is that even though it is late in the year, I want to set up this precedent. So I am going to actually convene an actual executive committee before the next board meeting, which I'm going to ask the officers, the vice chair, secretary and treasurer, as well as the chairs of the standing committees at this point, which would be program and community outreach. And, I would invite, Julie as the primary PNB delegate. But if for some reason Julie can't participate, then I want to make sure that one of the other PNB folks is part of that group as well. That we will three things. We will rehash any issues that came up in the previous meeting, like those that have come up tonight. And we will try and come up with some consensus on for the agenda for the following meeting, and also use that space if there's any particular action items that we want to craft to bring to this group, either based on previous discussion or committee reports or whatever, but just a smaller group to try and do a better job of setting the tone and the agenda, and another small space to try and get some work done. So those folks that I've named, I will be reaching out to you to try to find a time in about 2 weeks for us to meet. And maybe we can even try out our new Zoom by then. We'll see. Those are my two items. Any questions or comments on those two? Okay. Next, under unfinished business, actually, let me go first to the Dear LSB letter that was signed by several programmers that was circulated previously, but it was recirculated for this meeting. As I read it, it's an appeal. Well, it's a listing of some concerns of things going on at the station. It's also, and for our part, primarily for us, it's an appeal to the LSB to be more engaged, more involved in trying to pull some of these things together. I will say that my first response to that from the position of the board is some of the things that we're trying to accomplish on the finance committee. Again, more detailed information and more transparency. Those are things that that I'm committed to working toward in terms of finances. Hopefully also that the executive committee can also be a vehicle for trying to work out more in terms of communication with management, because that was also one of the concerns in that letter. Let me ask if there are any other comments or reactions from the board about, pertaining to that letter that was recirculated for this meeting. Vanessa?
I can say, I know that At least one programmer shared with me that they thought the LSP had not received it. We did receive it. It was immediately prior to the meeting. But we did receive it and had an opportunity to read and review it. I think that when the LSB was initially asked about it, there were some people who had not yet seen it. But when it was asked again, there was no one who responded that it had not been seen and read.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to take the time to, to take some time this evening, having sent it out again, for anyone to digest and comment on it. And if there's no more discussion on that here, let me say, and I see you, Sarah, that'll be also something that we will raise again in that executive committee. Sarah.
It's sort of a minor point, but anytime somebody generates a document that's a fairly critical document because it enumerated a whole bunch of pretty substantial concerns on the part of the folks who wrote the document, I wish that it made on because I know the paper copy that I printed out not have a date on it. That's essential because I don't know 4 weeks from now, whether that was yesterday or last year. So that's a critical thing. Yeah. And number two, I want the people to propose solutions.
You're breaking up.
Thank you. I thought it was just me. Sarah, you're breaking up badly.
She was on a train. All right, We can't hear you, Sarah. You're frozen. I'm going to come back to you. Hold that thought. Minerva?
Yes, I was going to, count along the lines of what Sarah was saying, but I guess, is there a way that the LSB could kind of reach out to all of the programmers and get comments from them based on, their thoughts about us and the inner workings of the station? Hmm. Because if we say we've got 100 programmers and that's what about a third of them, what do the others think or what are their thoughts about the LSB and the working with management, working with them? I just think you're from what's there, you're just getting, maybe it's I'll put it this way, a small disgruntled group, but what does everyone think? And what are some of their suggestions? We don't have any of that. I think it's only fair that we get information in that manner.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Yeah, to find a vehicle to reach out more broadly and see if there's a consensus of and frankly, what programmers in general are looking for from this board. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Who else is up? I don't see, any other hands. Is Sarah back on? Okay.
She's not here.
Okay. Any other comments on the letter per se? Okay. Minerva, I may be coming to you again because then the next item, and these are under unfinished business, was the letter from the working group. That you and Thomas signed. I wanted to get that back on the table, to refocus, the board on, some of those concerns, which are overlap, some of them overlap with some of the concerns of the, expressed by this group of programmers. Minerva or Thomas, would you like to, sort of summarize
Minerva, you want to take the lead?
No, Thomas, you go ahead, please.
y'all may remember, August or so?
They've been July.
Yeah, July. Minerva and I took the responsibility for convening a working group that would identify some issues in WPFW's operation. We met and included Sabu and I get Martha and Donna mixed up. Martha attended, I think. So it was four of us and a number of those concerns we reduced to this document that should be before you. But we realized that the four of us didn't get it. that it really took more people involved in WPFW to make the effort worthy. And I think we came to the next meeting and the meeting itself was like the working group and it fleshed out a number of issues. So I didn't move the document. I think that might have given people the impression that we were finished and we weren't. We asked for more participation. We asked for more participation. We thought that programs needed to be involved, staff people needed to be involved. And so that's where we were when the meeting happened on the 28th that went to the heart of a key issue. And so I might be going beyond the document now, so tell me to shut up. let me stop at that. We issued our document. We asked for participation. And we still think that that work process needs to go on. And let me just commend you, before you go any further, Dennis. I think you did the exact right thing. We need the executive committee to meet and look at these meetings and these processes and maybe come back. Because we're all talking about how do we get together? How do we organize? How do we identify priorities? And so we need some leadership in that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Was that adequate?
Let me just jump in and Minerva, you can add whatever you need to add. So we will be discussing these in the executive committee. In the meantime, I can help, promote, if you want to try and schedule another working group meeting in terms of, LSB participation, but I also welcome any suggestions on, the best way, because I actually don't even have a listing of the entire programmer staff for the thing that we were just talking about. I was going to have to go through the program director. If there's what is the best way to see if there's any volunteer or paid staff that want to participate also in the working group. I'm open to suggestions for how to recruit them.
I think the executive committee that you just named should take the discussion from the program committee. Literally, there were similar concerns. Donna just gave you some idea of, the working group and the two executive committee meetings. Look at that and see if you all can recommend a process for us to go forward.
Okay.
And Sabu made a good point. The last LSB meeting, we had the person from whatever station it was on the West Coast. The guy did a real good job of saying what they did, what they're doing, to save themselves.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Minerva, did you have anything to add?
No, not really. I understand, and I just kind of smiled when you talked about your executive committee. Bringing that group together. So, that to me is one of the steps in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then by identifying people that could work on the committee that we're talking about and maybe making it be a goal that be as we move into 2023, that we have something in place that everyone will agree to work with and work as a group. So I think it's good to hear, and everyone tonight has been saying the same thing. We need to communicate. We need to talk. And definitely, Dennis, we need to understand our Pacifica WPFW bylaws. And also they mentioned Robert's rules. we need to make sure that everyone is on target so that we don't get into what we've been dealing with. Are we in compliance or we not in compliance? So I think those things are real important for us to reach out. I mean, Robert Rules is good, but definitely Robert Rules does not take precedence over what our bylaws say we're supposed to be doing.
Right. Okay.
Dennis, Jerry, yes. This is a suggestion, yes, if I may.
Yep.
Perhaps what we need is some type of a hybrid group that consists of board members, staff members, and programmers. There was a bit of confusion, perhaps just on my part, about the programming committee had no programmers on it. How can you have a program committee with no programmers on it? And it seemed that that committee's purpose was lost because it didn't actually involve the programmers.
Yep.
So I tried to engage as much as possible with governance. But when you say things like compliance, let me say something overarching, if I may. Because the issues of the CPB came up in this meeting. When I first came on board to WPFW, one of the things that I did was I researched what the CPB had to say about Pacifica. The CPB's document on Pacifica said that Pacifica was in, and listen to this one, aggressive noncompliance. Which means we didn't care. Pacifica just was not trying to be in compliance at all. And they were scoffing at the CPB. We have communications here in Washington with CPB members that say WPFW itself is still revered internally within the CPB, but there's nothing that they can do for us because of our aggressive non-compliance status within Pacifica. So specifically, what they were pointing to in our non-compliance was our failure in terms of our governance. We can't get past the basic mechanics of setting up the meetings and notifications. We've got to get past that. And that is simple mechanics. Then go the issues of having DADs along with the LSBs, having a system of governance that, well, one of the other things that they had mentioned, excuse me, I'm taking time. One of the other things that they had mentioned was that our system of governance was interfering operations. Now, the board is supposed to advise and recommend. I don't know how deep any type of oversight goes, and I agree that there should be some type of oversight, but I guess at some point, oversight becomes intrusive to actual operation. So, Dennis, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make that suggestion that we look at the larger issues of how our governance is perceived by people with very, very, very deep pockets.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know that we can do a whole lot about Pacifica at this point, but we can certainly do a lot about WPFW. So the main thing, I love your idea about some sort of a hybrid structure. And so what I'm just going to ask is that after we have some conversations in this new executive committee, I'm hoping that we can count on your cooperation in terms of getting some staff and programmers to participate in whatever kind of system, excuse me, that we come up with for improve sort of communication moving forward. So I will hold you to that. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you, because you know we have people, you know, who go back like 40 years.
Yep.
In terms of our programs alone, you know, the amount of institutional knowledge that she has, you know, is invaluable. Von Martin. I mean, I can go on and on.
Yep.
About how many people can, you know, keep us on track?
Yep.
Oh, there. It's a resource.
Yep. Vanessa.
So in terms of the editorial comment by the GM that Pacifica was mocking and scoffing, I don't think there's really any, I mean, that predates my being from the PNB, but I've certainly heard PNB members who have the same number of years of institutional knowledge and involvement as the PFW programmers that Jerry just mentioned, how long they've been trying to rectify this issue to be in compliance. So despite best efforts by many, so I think it's, you know, maybe just a little extreme to say that Pacifica was mocking and scoffing. Now, I've had my fair share and have my fair share of concerns about Pacifica, but, you know, just trying to, sorry, it's my phone making announcements. But, you know, just trying to stay on the right side of factual statements rather than conjecture. In terms of the programmers being on the programming committee, I've been on that committee for the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years. Programmers are welcome to come. They are also represented by elected programming staff that are on the LSB. So that's one source of representation. There's nothing preventing any programmer who wants to join the programming committee to do so. And I do know I have certainly advocated for any time the programming committee was involved in a task, or it was proposed that the programming committee be involved in a task that had anything to do with programmers, that we go straight to the programmers. I know I myself am not a programmer. I don't know enough to know what's important to programmers. And so the only viable way to do that is to have direct outreach and involvement with them. So maybe what has been missing is there's not been some sort of open invitation for programmers to join, but certainly they are represented through the LSB representatives.
Yeah, I just think that it's what we're talking about is the difference between sort of an open invitation and perhaps some more some targeted recruitment. Yeah, that's just a question of you know the nature of our outreach. But we need to get there. Our last item under unfinished business circulated or recirculated for this meeting. There's a letter, I don't know if it's the actual letter or a draft. I'll let you explain in a minute. Thomas Blanton, in support of, action concerning, Kwamina Okron. Now I don't know, Thomas, if you are looking for, if you want to offer that as a model for people who are interested in doing the same, or if you are bringing a resolution for some action that you are would like to see by the board. But I leave it to you right now. You've got the floor.
Whatever passed. We have been on board supporting Justice for Kwame Nkrumah since January 2021, and we've been following it at every step. The last meeting that Ms. Cooper did participate in, she said that she was in the process of writing the Justice Department. For those of you who don't know, we did not get hearings and investigations in Montgomery County. where it happened. They refused to investigate at all, a shooting of a young man at nighttime, who I think is over 20-something shots. So there has been no real investigation of the shooting. So she has initiated her own writing efforts, and we asked her, was there anything else we could do? And to the public. And she said, write letters. Without me editorializing, yes, I drafted something that could be used yourself as a model. The conversation earlier seemed to be balanced, that people don't want to get so far engaged in other issues. So I understand that. But justice, jazz and justice has to mean something, you know. And I drafted it as modestly as I could to say, we just want an investigation. So that is a sample. So I present it to you. Maybe at this point, I'll leave it to you to decide what you do.
Okay. You know, like in some of the emails I receive, there is a request that if you are in support of some more action being taken for justice in this particular case, that is a step you can take, and that is a way to take it, and that is the model that you can follow, or you can use your own words. I think I let Sarah back in. I don't know if she is. Sarah, are you there? I do not hear her.
She's on my screen.
Okay.
She's muted though.
Sarah, if you unmute, you can try and finish what you were saying before.
Well, I don't know how far I got before we went through a tunnel, actually three tunnels, and then I think I'll just cut it short and say I would love to see some comment, some supporting information along with the statements made on that document. That's all I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know what they were thinking when they made those statements, and I got a lot of the emotion, but I didn't get some of the supporting fact. So sometimes when people propose solutions, even if they're not great solutions, you get where they're coming from a little better. But definitely need a date on that, because I want to refer to that document next year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can't refer to that document next year if the date isn't right there, part of the document. I'm sorry if I took too much time here, and I know I'm really high maintenance today, so I apologize to everybody.
I appreciate the effort to participate, while you're on the move. Good dedication. Last item on the agenda. Well, just about the last item is if there is any new business anyone would like to raise. Nope. Okay. Let me see. Under action items, there is work to do in terms of reaching out to Markeisha and Stephanie Wells. A lot of work to do in the context of the executive committee that I will convene. Let me see what else. Reaching out to staff delegates to communicate with their constituents, and anybody have any notes on anything else that that needs to get done? I think most of this is for me.
Move away, Jerry.
Is there a second?
Could I just interrupt for a moment and go back to new business for, I just wanted to raise the issue of, could we possibly go back to meeting in person? But I feel like many of us are vaccinated and boosted and, you know, Jerry, I don't know, you know, what the physical plan at the station looks like, but you know, we used to meet in that big room, set up tables and stuff. And I think it would probably be healthy if we got the opportunity to see each other face to face. I mean, and maybe we have to do like my work does a lot, which is hybrid meetings so that some people, you know, are participate via Zoom and some people are there in person. But I just wanted to plant that seed in people's brains to see, you know, could we think about that? Thanks.
Okay, so actually...
Hey, I call you one of the braver ones.
Well, you know what, Jerry, I do want to take that under, want you to take that under advisement, but even if the station is not available, we also met regularly at least 3 or 4 times a year in other locations. So that's something that we can discuss if there's another location. What I think, I won't take the time to do tonight, but maybe Eileen, we can get together and craft some kind of a poll for the board to see, how many people are interested in meeting in person. Maybe the goal would be to do that at the end of the year, December meeting, when we have elections. And I think that whether we do it in December or not, I think it's something that we really need to, focus on doing once the new board, whatever shape that takes, is in place in January. So maybe, possibly both of those times, but at least one of those 2 times, I think is a good idea, but we will poll the body and get a sense of where people are. Thank you for that, Julie.
Chair, I think I'm next. Vanessa, whenever it's appropriate.
Yeah, Minerva's next.
Okay.
Minerva McLeod, then Vanessa.
Okay. I saw some type email about the DC Chamber. Were you going to discuss that or what is that about? Something about WPFW? Am I?
Oh, yeah.
Am I dreaming? Or, well, I know I saw an email, something about an award to WPFW.
Oh, yes. Thank you. The DC Chamber of Commerce has awarded WPFW its Community Impact Award for this year.
Okay, and I was going to ask with that, I saw that one person was volunteered to go and the question that I have, I looked at it on their website to see they have like a table or something. And I'm wondering if does it, I see the GM and the, PW going to represent, but I think it would be nice if there were a way that other people could go and maybe do a table. I think it was like, it wasn't cheap. It was like 3,000 if individuals wanted to do that. But I think that helps WPFW get out into the area that's networking, and that is definitely the GM and the program director, but also being able to let people know that WPFW is together and we can do something, and maybe 2 or 3 people have to go in and or whatever, but that's just a thought.
Yeah, no, it's a good thought, and I don't think we, at this point, we can try and pull that out of the budget. But I think, if there are people who are interested in trying to go to that, let me see.
I think I was talking to Sabuta today, and he's interested. Y'all putting together a list.
Okay.
Yeah. And I may not be able to go, but I wouldn't mind, you know, maybe helping to get a ticket for someone if I can't go, that someone would go.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if 2 or 3 board members are able to get there and support,
right,
that would be a good thing. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for raising that. Vanessa and then Arthur.
So there's a couple of comments in the chat about the legitimacy of executive committees. So I see that Julie referenced Article 3 in terms of what's allowed and what's not. So the announcement that there was going to be an executive committee,
are you talking about executive session?
Executive committee.
Okay.
Right. So just urging more research into that.
Okay.
Since some members of the community are concerned, so we just wanted to make sure, and I know you want to make sure, you're diligent, and want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Is that Article 3?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Arthur?
Yes. I'm just going to try to make this comment, even though I don't think it's going to do any good because everybody's going to be then forgot about it later on, but comments were made about programmers and their participation in LSB activities. I just want to say that as a programmer myself and programmers that I've socialized with, I want to tell you all as the board that most programmers, all they are concerned about is their shows. Most programmers are not interested in anything else WPFW is doing except for the fund drive and their shows. So if you, and Jerry can even vouch for this, when Jerry and the management of WPFW, they set up meetings, only one-third, we have close to 100 programmers on WPFW, only one-third, less than one-third of the show at any meeting, most of the meetings that we've had, that since we've been in the pandemic, because more of them used to show up when we used to meet in person. But only less than one-third of the programmers show up for meetings. The same thing, Miyuki, Katia, Jerry, they set up training programs to train because programmers were complaining about they weren't getting enough training. When they set up the training session, again, less than one-third show up for the training sessions. And I understand that because I myself am guilty of it because I used to wasn't concerned about nothing but my show and the fund drives for the well-being of WPFW. But until I had some problems and started coming to the LSB for assistance, then I started looking into the mechanics of WPFW. And that's why I'm a member now because I see how important it is and do my participation as a volunteer, a financial supporter, a feedback supporter, and being on the LSB to help do whatever needs to be done to keep WPFW alive. But most of the programmers do not share that sentiment until they have a need for the LSB. And in the meantime, they care nothing but about their shows. Now, you can ask Jerry, Katia, Miyuki, about all of the things that I said, and as Lorna Lies say, I challenge anybody to challenge me on anything that I've just said. Now, you might not remember that or still be trying to reach out to programmers and get their input and wonder why there's no programmers to Jerry. You wonder why there's no programmers on the program committee. They have the option to do that. They have the option to join any committee that they want to. But more programmers should be on the programming committee, but that's why they're not there. And I'm just telling you all like it is, whether you take that to heart or not. The programmers do not care about the mechanics or behind the scenes of WPFW. Thank you.
You're breaking my heart, Arthur, but
I'm keeping it real. I'm keeping it R-E-E-E-A-L.
Well, I believe you. That's why you're breaking my heart.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Comment?
That's right. There, we got a programmer.
That's all you can ask, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Programmer here. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it very brief. Depending upon your perspective, at its best or at its worst, we have programmers that go into a trance state when they're doing their programming.
Okay.
They are not to be disrupted or disturbed. So, Arthur is correct. They don't want to be bothered with anything other than their show. That's it.
Okay. Mr. Harris has the floor, and then there's a shoe waiting to drop in this meeting. Yeah, go ahead, come on.
I tend to agree, mostly with Arthur. A lot of the programmers, I talk to them in discussions about, hey, come out to the meetings, get involved. And a lot of them kind of shrug it off. But I think that actually makes the letter, that the board received that much more important and powerful, that you do have a group that is very much interested in engaging and understanding the inner workings of the station. I don't think that it, discredits that letter. I think it actually makes it more poignant and powerful as a form of communication from those programmers themselves. So I just like to say that.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the shoe waiting to drop is there is a motion that has yet to be seconded, and once it is seconded, we must act on it.
A second?
All right. The motion is to adjourn. Any opposed? Well, thank you, people. It's been so lovely to spend this time with you. And I mean that.
Better you than
thank
me.
You. Meeting is adjourned. I will see you next month, if not before.
Vanessa, pick up the phone. I'm about to call.
Oh, good night.
Have a good rest of the evening and rest of the week.
Okay. Everyone, have a nice evening.
Bye. Thank
good
you
night.
Again.
Good night, everyone. I miss riding the subway with Ellen.
Oh, yeah. I do miss that.
I miss
that was
that,
a lot
Ellen.
Of fun.